Hey, it's Monday, July 9th, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Deb.
Guess what?
What?
Hockey's over, but I still really want to talk about hockey.
It's always a good time to talk about hockey.
Oh, no. I mean, like, there's some summer stuff happening, and development camps were just finished for like all the draftees and the new kids. But you know, you were saying earlier, like, all our hockey podcasts are going on hiatus, and like nobody wants to talk about it anymore. I mean, I understand wanting a break, but like, I am following the signings and the trades like it's my job.
There's a lot more going on in hockey over the summer than I think some people give it credit for.
I think you're absolutely right. But it has been like, it's been a month since we've chatted. Mm-hmm. So we've got some stuff to go through very quickly. You know, like the whole Stanley Cup winner thing.
Yeah, that happened.
That happened. That was the thing that happened, which I don't know. I really got super emotional during that final game when the cup was awarded to the Capitals. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And TJ Oshie's talking about his dad with Alzheimer's,
oh,
just like ugly crying, mm-hmm. and the look in Alexander Ovechkin's face when he finally got that cup.
And just hugged it and caressed it.
I know. And I swear to God, I don't think we're getting it back. I mean, honestly, it took days for them to pry it out of his hands. Like, there's pictures in his Instagram, him sleeping with the cup.
I believe it. I mean,
like naked, well, shirtless at least, but yeah, like cuddling. He's cuddling on the plane. He flew home with it. Like, he's snuggling on the plane with the cup. He's sleeping in his bed with a cup. The cup is like on his dining room table. It's like it never left his sight at all.
Would you be any different though if you were in his position?
Probably not. I think he is probably the new Stanley Cup handler now. I think he's going to accompany that cup every single day
instead of
season.
Instead of going into, becoming a hockey sportscaster or a pundit or a talking head. No. His new goal is, once he's done with hockey, is to become a Stanley Cup handler so he can just follow it around forever and ever,
oh,
everywhere.
Seriously, fondling. There was fondling happening. It was very, very affectionate. But just to sit and the joy that the Washington Capitals fans and players had during, I mean, that celebration went on for like two solid weeks. I don't know if they sobered up yet. I mean, I honestly don't know whether, even after all this time, because there was momentous drinking happening. There's frolicking in public fountains. Mm-hmm. It was great. I loved it. I mean, people were like, oh my God, are they done yet? Like, no, let these boys have their moment.
Right. I just feel like right now, watching people experience that level of joy was something that my soul really needed, you know?
Yes. Yes. I mean, and let's face it. I mean, Vegas gave a valiant effort, and I'm not discrediting Vegas in any way, shape, or form, because what they managed to accomplish this year is nothing short of astonishing. Mm-hmm. But the joy, I don't know that they would have the same level of joy that the Washington Capitals had after winning it.
I agree. I mean, they would have been thrilled, absolutely, but it wouldn't have been the same sort of just the same sort of like, we as a unit have been trying for this thing for so long, and
I know
nobody ever thought we were going to make it.
Yeah. So it's nice to look back. You know, it's a month out now since we last talked, mm-hmm. and it's nice to look back in those happy moments. It was good times.
It was
really funny because the NHL Awards happened recently. And I'm really not going to touch on that because there was a magician.
I like the magician.
I hate magicians. I hate magicians so very much. I have such a prejudice against magicians. I feel they're smug and they always are trying to trick you.
He didn't look smug.
No, because he totally flubbed the act. It was great.
Well, one of them.
Well, the most important one.
Eh.
Yeah.
See, I was so excited because at first I was like, huh, magician, that's a weird, interesting thing to do. Whatever, I shrugged. And then Steven was like, that's Scott Oak's son. And I was like, what? Scott Oak is a beloved sportscaster for CBC. He does all of the a lot of the Hockey Night in Canada after hours interviews. He does a lot of the interviews with players as they come off the ice. And he's just, he is an excellent, excellent interviewer. And I just, there are some people in sports media that really get on my nerves. And he is just like a breath of fresh air. He's just a down-to-earth, really nice guy who asks good questions. And I really wanted his son to succeed. and some of it he did. And then, yeah, there were some moments where it went awry, which was sad.
Well, it's a pretty big stage to falter on. So I will feel slightly more kindly to this sad, poor magician, except I still really hate magicians. So I am well known for my magician hate is well known.
This is true.
It's true.
I know. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh no, Dev is not going to like this at all. Yeah.
Really? Talk to me about Penn & Teller sometime. That was a first date that never went anywhere. Anyway. But the point I was trying to make, besides magicians at the NHL Awards, was there was a very cute bit where they had Nicholas Backstrom and Alexander Ovechkin like frolicking in the, was it the Bellagio fountain in Las Vegas with the cup?
Yep. Like just, they're still out there just doing
it. They're still out there just in their tuxes with the cup, just dancing in the fountain. And I thought, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good. So, NHL Awards happened. Connor McDavid got his award.
Yes, he did.
So that was very nice. Mm-hmm. You know, he won the Art Ross, and
yeah,
then
and what? Then he goes on stage, and what is he talking about? He's talking about getting better. Like
that's, I know
that's my little hockey boy. He just won the award for the most points in the season, and he apologizes to the fans or thanks them for being patient. Oh,
that's right.
My heart.
Like, Connor, pro tip here. Like, you're fine. You're good. It's like all those little pieces around you, they need to work on their game a little bit.
He's the captain, so he takes responsibility for his team.
He does.
Gotta respect it.
He's got to be kicking some butt, like, postseason then. Get these guys in shape for next year. So, yeah, that was the thing that happened. Let's see. We had the first Willie O'Ree Award, which...
That's right.
...was honestly... I mean, I'm not even Canadian. I mean, I'm not. Like, I did not grow up with this whole notion of junior hockey. But let me tell you, like, this Humboldt story, every time something happens with this, I just... It just brings a tear to my eye because you can, even though it's not something that touches me because it was a part of my sort of the fabric of my lifestyle, mm-hmm. to see how affected everybody in Canada was by that. So I guess we should make a point. It was the coach's wife accepted the award on his behalf. The Humboldt coach passed away, mm-hmm. whose name I can't recall at the moment. And her speech was, it was so good, and the players who were there representing the team who were out of the hospital, there's still several in the hospital, mm-hmm. were just so supportive of her, and I was ugly crying at the end. I mean, I really was, because award shows tend to be a necessary evil. Do you know what I
yes.
mean? Like, the players mm-hmm. don't really enjoy it. I mean, they like winning. They like winning the thing. It's
right.
The presentation of the thing mm-hmm. is like the part they don't like. So this just made it. It just brought a somber yet really important, I think, moment to a really frivolous kind of evening.
Yeah, the whole thing really felt different from most award shows that I've seen. Not even just sports award shows, but they also had an awful lot of recognition of the first responders and the way that the community came together after the shooting in Las Vegas. And mm-hmm. so between that, and then they also touched on the Parkland shootings and how the hockey team, like, you know, came together, like the Parkland hockey team got to use
right.
the Panthers jet to go to some finals. And it was just, I mean, there were so many moments of reality and actual real hard-hitting emotion sort of sprinkled in with all of these people and their sparkly jackets. I'm looking at you, Taylor Hall. And And, you know, like they're just, everybody's all dolled up for the camera and stuff. And there's you know, it feels real flashy and fake in one moment. And then the next moment you're crying because you're seeing somebody who's expressing real emotion about a tragedy that happened and the way that their team pulled together to deal with it. It was kind of emotional whiplash a little bit.
It really was, because like I said, that's usually like a night that you suffer through, mm-hmm. just because you want to see the players and they just all look so uncomfortable and just like, yep. can it be over with now so we can like go to the buffet mm-hmm. and the open bar? Yeah, but so let's see, what else? The draft happened. That was exciting.
Sure did. Speaking of looking at people in the audience, which was, that was one of my favorite things to do during the awards ceremony, is just see like who's in the audience, who are they sitting next to, what kind of stuff are they wearing? Just I'm interested in that. We decided, I had several friends over. We were going to be recording one of my other podcasts, but we had to watch the draft, of course, or at least up until Edmonton's pick. And every single hockey mom was blonde and was wearing a black dress. It was freaky. It was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, or like, no, that's not the right thing. Stepford Wives or something, mm-hmm. where like they just all looked exactly the same. Like they all went to the same stylist before draft day. And yeah, so blonde hockey moms is just, it's a thing.
Yep. That was the thing. I watched it and I was hoping for something big because everybody, for the past God knows how long, was on Tavares watch. See, mm-hmm. John Tavares, the captain of the New York Islanders, who is entering into his unrestricted free agency year this year, had not signed an extension with his team. And he said he wanted to, you know, he was exploring his options. Now, the New York Islanders have really struggled management-wise, location-wise. History of troubles are well known in that, you know, they don't have a home arena and they were playing at the Barclays Center, which is terrible for hockey, not designed for hockey, and just had bad sight lines. Mm-hmm. Their negotiations on building a new rink, their owner was overambitious in what they wanted to do with a new arena. It was just a hot mess. And the Islanders were, I guess, at the, like, you know, the 25th hour, we're trying to shore up the infrastructure. They brought Lou Lamoriello in as the head of hockey operations, I believe. Mm-hmm. Barry Trotz, formerly of the Stanley Cup winning Washington Capitals, was hired as their head coach after not re-upping with Washington, which is a whole nother story, mm-hmm. Why that didn't happen. But everybody was like, you know, is John Tavares going to sign before the July 1st deadline? Is he going to sign? Like, is he going to sign with the Islanders? Is he going to go someplace else? And that didn't happen. Everybody said it was going to happen during the, didn't sign. Everybody was like, what's happening with Carlson? Because Ottawa's on fire right now. They're such a disaster. Mm-hmm. Was Carlson going to be traded? So those were like the two big names you were expecting to see some movement during the draft. And nothing.
The most exciting thing was that the guy that Edmonton really wanted, they didn't know if they were going to get, they got him. So
yeah, and I think that it was Montreal Canadiens that threw everything mm-hmm. into disarray, because you know, traditionally you get these ranking lists before the draft, and we talked about this a little bit last year. You know, kids go to the combine. Scouts and media analysts have, you know, your rankings of your draft prospects. And usually the prevailing wisdom is you draft by the rank listing, not by need. So if a defenseman is the number one draft pick and you have the number one pick, you're going to take the best player regardless of position.
Yep.
And Montreal was like, nope, we're not going to do that. We need centermen. We're going to draft for the center. So they actually went down the list and they mm-hmm. didn't pick who was projected to be third or fourth or whatever pick they had. I think they were third. And they actually went down the list. And that just threw everything. Like, what is even happening?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So you guys, like, that fell right in your lap because you were considering trading up to get that pick, weren't you?
Yes. Apparently, the Edmonton folks, like, we really, really wanted a good scoring defenseman. And Evan Bouchard is a really good scoring defenseman. And he was higher on the projected to go list than Edmonton's pick at 10. So they were actually thinking of trading up just to make sure that they could, you know, nail this guy and make sure that they get him. But then when, you know, Montreal just sort of went off book and didn't pick the guy that everybody was expecting them to pick, everything just sort of shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
And eventually Edmonton realized, you know what? No, it looks like we're probably actually still going to be able to get him at our regular 10. So they didn't have to do any trading. They just got the guy that they wanted. And I'm really excited to see what he, you know, can bring to the team. Maybe not, I'm not sure I necessarily want him playing in the NHL this first year, you know, maybe the first few games just to give him a little bit of a try. I think it would be great to, you know, toss him in the AHL, let him play there for a while, you know, just a year. And then then come out and up and help us shore up our defense, which needs shoring.
Just ask Connor McDavid.
Yep.
He's apologizing for you guys. Get your act together. So, yeah, I mean, I watched it just to, because it was hockey related and like you need your fix. Mm-hmm. So let's see. The NHL Hall of Fame was announced. Hall of Fame nominees for 2018. Mm-hmm. You know, no big surprise of Marty Brodeur. Fantastic goalie who is now known for his Enterprise commercials here in the States.
Oh, they're here too, and they're great.
Are they there too?
I love
great.
Them.
I do. I love when seeing his kids with the beards.
Yep. It's just ridiculous. And I have to say the CGI in that commercial is really impressive because like the beginning of the commercial is him feeling like a crap ton of goals like super, super quickly. And that's not him doing that. He does not he doesn't play goal anymore at this point. But like they've got his head on it, on this body talking, and it looks perfectly natural. Like you wouldn't necessarily know.
Yeah. But Willie O'Ree finally got nominated as a, what is a builder? Is that what they call it?
I think so.
Something like that. So it's not as a player.
Yes.
But it's a builder, somebody who has contributed to the game, contributed to the NHL. And of course, we've talked about Willie O'Ree in a previous episode as the very first black player in the NHL back in the 60s. And I mean, did not have a fantastic career. Like he'll be the first to admit, like, you know, I don't know, played a handful of games in Boston. You know, he wasn't in the NHL long. His career was certainly not Hall of Fame worthy, but the whole you can play and the diversity, it's not you can play. They don't do you can play. It's hockey is for everyone, which is the latest branding of the diversity issues that the NHL has been pushing has really been, he has been that ambassador for years. I mean, this is his life's work, is just traveling and talking to kids and talking to people about growing the sport and reaching out to non-traditional markets and players who might not thought they'd have a place in the NHL. I mean, I know Wayne Simmonds of the Flyers holds him in such high regard and said, you know, like, if it wasn't for him, like, I would not be here, because he had coaches tell him, like, yeah, you're really good, but is there really a place for you? And he's like, but Willie O'Ree said there was, and I believed him. So, like, to see him get that, to see him be nominated is just, it just, I was so excited. Like, that was the one I was really excited for.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't know if he meant it to be throwing shade, but when he was interviewed about it, he was just saying, like, I'm just really happy that I'm alive to, like, experience this or whatever. Like,
right.
Like,
because he's in his 80s.
It's, you could make an argument that it's a little overdue.
Just a little. And it's the kind of thing, like, you know, if he had died, they'd be like, oh, yeah, we should really get him in there. And it's like, well, it's really nice he could enjoy it. And I have to say, all right, here's the other controversial nominee as a builder was Gary Bettman, we all know Gary Bettman is.
Yeah.
Which is perplexing to me, not to say that he doesn't deserve a place there. I'm not saying that, because he has done a lot of amazing things for the sport, despite, you know, a lot of the crap that he's also done. But he has grown the league, and he's,
yeah, if not but, for him, I might not have the Edmonton Oilers to stand over, like, at this point. There's an argument to be made that he was instrumental in keeping the Oilers in Edmonton at a time when they almost left. But I agree that it's weird. Like, he's still in his career.
He's still in his job. Like, he could get a big old black mark on his, you know, on his record at some point. You know, the concussion lawsuits are still, that whole thing's going on. We have, I guess we have to talk about this, but Slava Voynov, who is formerly of the LA Kings, was banned from the NHL after a horrendous domestic abuse charge that he, I believe he pleaded no contest to, but he did serve jail time and voluntarily deported himself because the police record was horrifying. And recently had his record expunged because apparently he could show enough proof that he served his probationary time in Russia, even though he joked in Russia about how it was a really good thing he managed to come back to Russia after this little incident because he managed to win, like, you know, gold medal in the Olympics. Like, shut up. Mm-hmm. But and now this is opening the he wants to come back to the NHL. That's what it comes down to. And in order for him, the first step was to have his criminal record expunged, which the LA judge did. And now he can supposedly open up discussion with the NHL, with Gary Bettman, and they're like, well, we have to look at all the factors, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah, no, you should look at the factors. Like, look at them. And say no.
And say no. So if Gary Bettman opens the door to let this piece of trash back into the NHL, then I'm sorry. This was a very, very premature nomination to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Like, if that happens, I will be flipping tables.
Oh, and I'm going to tell you right now, whatever team hires him is dead to me. And I hate to say this, but even the Flyers.
Yep, absolutely. If the Edmonton Oilers pick him up, I will... Nope. I probably won't burn my hat. I'll probably give it away to Goodwill. But
I'll be done. I will absolutely be done. Because the NHL is the only major sports league that does not have a formal domestic violence policy.
Surprise, they don't. Surprise. Like,
they have no guidelines. They have nothing. So if they let this guy back in, I mean, his wife was like, she was bloodied. I mean, she was
like, pictures. It's gross.
It's horrible. It's horrible. And she's like, this isn't the first time. And then, of course, she came back and like was standing by him. And everybody's like, oh, look, she forgave him. Or she said, you know, she exaggerated. I'm like, do you know nothing about spousal abuse and what and the excuses that people make for the fear of their safety, for their children, because they just feel they have no other options. Like, oh, come on, educate yourself when it comes to domestic abuse before you like start spewing that garbage. Mm-hmm. That, well, she's still with him, so it must be okay. Like,
yeah. Just I can't roll my eyes hard enough. I need to roll something else.
Sue, go roll something, because I feel my blood pressure boiling at the thought of this person coming back in the NHL. So anyway, so if Gary Bettman lets him back in, I'm thinking like that's not a good look.
Yeah, I would want to take away his Hall of Fame membership just for that alone.
I know.
And he's got so many years ahead of him, possibly, to...
Could be.
Do lots more crap if he decides to. I mean, you know, he's done some good stuff to grow the game. He's also not done a lot for, like you just said, there's no domestic abuse policy. The NHL's kind of crap when it comes to, you know, the whole you can play thing. Yeah, you know what? They're not so good at it.
Yep.
Pride Day, not very well organized, you guys. It's bad. Yep.
It is. Not every team participates. Mm-hmm. It's like, So
it feels like a great bunch of lip service. And I feel like I get the impression that that if that was something that he actually cared about, he could make it happen better than it's happening.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to be optimistic and say, sorry, Slava, the NHL doesn't want you anymore. So, Gary, do the right thing. I know you're listening. Do the right thing.
Right. Pretty please.
Yes. So Tavares finally signed.
Ugh.
I know, right?
And I only say that, like, I'm good for him for signing and good for him for going to his hometown team, the Maple Leafs. But living in Canada, it's not easy to deal with Canadian media to start with.
Now, I got to tell you, there's so much about the Toronto Maple Leafs that I like. I like so many of the players on there. And I feel, but I'm starting to feel the same way about Toronto as I feel about Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't dislike Pittsburgh as a team. They play great hockey. I like a lot of the players on the Pittsburgh team, but the Pittsburgh media is the worst. They are the worst. And Pittsburgh fans are like the worst when it comes to, I'm not talking every fan who's listening to this, but there's a lot of really awful Pittsburgh fans on social media. Like, as soon as you say something about anything, they jump in there. Well, we won so many cups, and it's like, they're, yeah, it's horrible. And Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto media is trying really, really hard to make me hate the Maple Leafs. And I really get angry about that because honestly, they've won the cup already. If you listen to Toronto media talk, like cup is in the bag, just skip next year. Just skip it because the cup is coming to Toronto. Like it's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, show a little bit of that Canadian humility here. just a little.
Nope. This is like the exception that proves the rule. It's frustrating being anywhere else in Canada and, you know, wanting to tune in and hear about, you know, hockey teams. What's going on in hockey? And you get, you know, 20 minutes about the Maple Leafs and then like, you know, 2 to 5 about each other team that's in Canada.
Yeah, it's bad. And now it's going to be really, really interesting. And the thing that does interest me about this, not that John Tavares is in Toronto, because like you said, good for him. He got a great contract. He's playing for his home team that he grew up with. He tweeted that picture out of him, or was it Instagrammed, a picture of him as a child, like in his bed was completely Toronto Maple Leaf sheets and comforters and pillows. And, you know, like I get that. And I'm happy for him because honestly, the idea that, you know, a player has loyalty and a player should, you know, give one up for the team, like, no, because the team will not give one up for you if it's a business.
Hockey is a business.
It is a business. And everybody likes to say, well, the player owes the team this or owes the team that. You know, the team will be the first one to, like, cut you out as soon as you stop performing. So, you know, good for him for making a good business decision. But and we're talking about this is trade season and there's restricted agency and we just hit hit free agency period on July 1st. They have 3 kids that need contracts next year.
Yep.
And that would be Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander. And, you know, they have right now, I think they're sitting $13 million under cap. And they're going to have to shift some things around in order to sign all 3 of them. Because when did Connor McDavid sign his extension last year?
Oh, I don't remember exactly.
Was it like July 2nd? Like they locked him up as soon as it was eligible. Because you could talk, right, you could talk to a player who was on their entry-level contracts after July 1st entering into their 3rd year of their entry-level, correct?
I think so.
Right. So they still have a year to play on their entry-level contract, but they have already negotiated their extension. So Connor McDavid played this year at whatever, $950,000, or whatever his entry-level contract was. I'm not looking at cap-friendly. But, you know, starting this season coming up, he's making the big money.
Yep, 12.5.
Yeah. So when he negotiated that last July, well, Toronto has not negotiated with any of their star players, their star rookies, their entry level people yet. And they're in their final year of their entry level contract. So there's rumors that Mitch Marner's coming off a great year. He's going to want a Draisaitl like contract or more, you know, because. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, how much is Austin Matthews going to get? And Austin Matthews did not have as great of a year as he did his first year. And apparently there was some tension with Mike Babcock. And this was supposed to be Austin Matthews' team. And all of a sudden you bring in John Tavares. Like, whose team is it now? So how is that going to affect? What I'm trying to say is it's going to be very interesting watching the spreadsheets for Toronto coming up this year.
Yep. Yeah, if you are a Toronto fan or somebody who's just really interested in this, I know the final episode of the 31 Thoughts podcast for the season had an interview with Kyle Dubas, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I couldn't bring myself to listen to it. I skipped ahead to the end when they answered listener questions. But it's out there if you are interested in hearing what their plan is. He claims they're signing everybody. Like
he does.
They're going to make it work.
It'll be interesting. He's got a plan. Kyle Dubas is kind of interesting. I don't have a good read on him yet, but I think is he the youngest, currently the youngest GM? He's like 28.
He's 31.
Is he 31? I thought he was in his 20s. Or he was 28, I think, when he was first hired by the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So I don't know if he's the youngest, but if not, he's pretty close. Like,
he's
as soon
close.
As I didn't realize kind of anything about who he was when they started talking about it on the podcast. Yeah, so we've got an interview with Kyle Dubas. I heard the name Kyle, and I was like, Kyle is not an old man's name.
No,
Kyle,
really
Kyle
isn't.
Is the name of somebody my age or younger. So this has got to be a bit of a whippersnapper who's making moves. So it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Yeah, so now everybody is on Carlson watch, Erik Karlsson.
Yep. The next big domino to fall.
He is the next big domino to fall because he has made it very clear he does not want to play in Ottawa next year. Ottawa, like we said, is a trash fire. Their assistant GM is on administrative leave for sexually harassing a male shuttle driver during the combine. Is now filing suit. But it took Ottawa like 2 weeks to decide to put him on admin leave. Like it wasn't like once the charges were filed, a police report was filed. Once the charges were filed, they like maybe not. We're okay. It'll be fine. Totally fine. And then like public pressure started mounting and they finally
pressure to do the right thing.
Exactly. And then there's a locker room issue between Mike Hoffman, who has since been traded. He got flipped really fast. He's in Florida now, but I forget. He was I think he was with Los Angeles for about 40 minutes, and they traded him to Florida. And Erik Karlsson, and apparently there's a protective order by Erik Karlsson's wife against Mike Hoffman's fiance because of apparently leaving trolling and threatening comments on social media and just terrible things. So whatever was going on with there, those two were not going to be able to play together. And they decided to ditch Hoffman to try to keep Karlsson. And Karlsson's like, yeah, no, thanks. I'm out of here. So your choice as an owner at that point, if he's in the last year of his restricted free agency contract, is if they let him go to free agency, they get nothing. Just like the Islanders got nothing for John Tavares. John Tavares just walked. So Ottawa's not going to let that happen with Karlsson. So they're going to trade him in his final year of his contract to another team. And
to try to get something.
To try to get something. Draft picks or another player. Anything, and whether Karlsson stays with the team he's traded to is up to Karlsson. He can certainly, he may end up signing a multi-year contract, or he may sign a one-year contract. Who knows what's going to happen? So that's the next big thing that everybody is waiting for. But there have been some interesting trades in the interim, or not trades, some signings, because there's a lot of players were coming into free agency. Let's see. What was the big? Oh, we got James Van Riemsdyk from Toronto, which is very exciting. Back to the Flyers.
That's right. Yeah, did he start there?
He was. We drafted him, and he played for a while, and then he got traded to Toronto, and now he's back. And this is very funny because there is video of Claude Giroux, our captain, cooing at him and calling him a pigeon. When he played for Toronto. Now, I don't know. Somebody is saying, well, a pigeon is a player who picks up garbage goals and can never generate anything. Or it was just, who knows what he was trying to do, but he's actually cooing at him on the ice. So but apparently Claude Giroux really was sort of instrumental in trying to get him back to the Flyers. And then when he did come back, he posted a little something on social media. It said, glad to see my favorite pigeon back. And so, yeah. So that's exciting. That was probably a big money one because he's 5 years at $35 million. I was excited to see the Dallas has Valeri Nichushkin back. He was drafted by Dallas and played, I think, one or two years, and then shied off to the KHL because he felt like he wasn't getting enough playing time and wasn't developing. And they still held his contract, but he came back and signed up again. So that's exciting. Need some good defensemen. I believe he plays. I think he's defenseman. He's a winger. I don't even know, but I just know that it was. It was like that was the big question in Dallas. Was Val coming back? Oh, we ditched Peter Mrazek, but he was a rental anyway. The Flyers weren't going to hold on to him for long.
Mm-hmm. We picked up Tobias Reeder, who I believe the Edmonton Oilers signed in the first place. got him back, which people are pretty excited about him as just like the possibility of him fitting in with the team. So I'm interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, there's a little drama in Pittsburgh. Jack Johnson, formerly of the Columbus Blue Jackets, was signed by Pittsburgh. And the thing that made that funny is because there was a little bit of back and forth between John Tortorella and Jim Rutherford, the GMs of the respective teams. And Tortorella just went off. And apparently Jack Johnson said something very innocuous, like, I'm really excited, you know, to step into a winning culture. It was just like, I'm really excited. Like, this is a great team. I'm excited to be playing for them. And Tortorella took it as like, what? You don't think we have a winning culture? Well, F you. And just like went off on Jack Johnson and the Penguins, and apparently Jim Rutherford added fuel to the fire by saying, yeah, we know why he was a healthy scratch, you know, the last couple games, and it didn't really have anything to do with his playing. And Tortorella's like, it didn't? Well, F you. And just ranted.
That's not exactly off book for Torts. That's,
I know. Sort of he is just... And I hear players really like playing for him because he's
all
a straight
players
shooter.
Or just some players?
There's a lot of players who like him. Apparently not Artem Panarin, who was flipped over from Chicago because he's like, I'm not sure I want to sign an extension with Columbus, so we're entering into another John Tavares situation. So I don't know. But we talked about like how many players are in their final year of their restricted free agencies and who need to be signed. Drew Doughty signed an extension. That was a big one because he was in his final year. Now there's a lot of rumbling about Tyler Seguin. Like, what's he going to do? Is Dallas going to be able to close the deal on him? Is he going to be able to stay? Is it going to be another situation of wait and see? And if so, is he going to get traded? So, yeah. Lots of stuff happening.
So much happening. Yeah, the Edmonton... Actually... In news of getting back a player that was yours to start with, we also signed Kyle Brodziak, who we drafted in 2003.
Oh, so, yeah. He played for St. Louis, right?
Yes. Yes, it was. St. Louis, I just...
Mm-hmm. So there's lots of... Yep. Yeah.
He had a pretty good season. 10 goals, 33 points in 81 games. Like, that's not bad. So, you know, he'll probably be, you know, centering one of the bottom lines, but that's okay. Like... We, you know, some of our previous centers have sort of gone away. So, which is fine because, you know, much as I like some of those guys, we didn't, they weren't all doing as great as we would have liked.
Yeah. So that's been kind of fun to watch that going back and forth and to see who's going to go where, who's going to settle. There's a lot of things happening on July 1st.
Yep.
A lot of things going on. But I honestly, the thing that has been giving me joy this week is Alexander Ovechkin. It's got this cup thing. Is in Moscow right now with the cup for his cup days, doing little tours, taking it around to Red Square in Moscow, holding events with kids. Like, honestly, we're never getting it back. But he's really enjoying his cup day. I don't know if it's his individual cup day or if it's like he just has it in Russia for a while because he's the captain and gets more. But because you haven't seen any like the very intimate. Well, no, I did see his wife singing karaoke with a cup in front of her on Instagram.
Okay, well.
Maybe it is his cup day.
Maybe it is.
I don't know.
But speaking of cup day, which is the thing you've said a couple of times there, I think it's time for us to learn a little something about hockey.
I think that's a great idea. Why don't we learn the history of cup day? It's time for What the Puck, the stuff that everyone knows, but we all had to learn sometime. So, Erica, cup day.
Yeah, what the puck?
What the fuck is Cup Day? We all know what Cup Day is. Cup Day is the tradition of a player getting the cup and spending a day with it to do whatever they would like to do with the cup.
Mm-hmm. A player on the Stanley Cup winning team.
But yeah, that's sort of implied. Like, you have to win it to have it. Mm-hmm. So, but it wasn't always that way, Erica. You didn't always have a Cup Day.
No.
No, it was really kind of formalized in like the whole Cup Day tradition was formalized with the 1994-1995 Devils, according to a video on NBC Sports when I was doing my research. So prior to that, prior to like this idea of the Cup Day, the winning team would get the cup for 100 days in between seasons. So, like, they just have possession of the cup. They could do whatever they wanted with the cup. And boy, how did they. Mm-hmm. So, apparently, the Toronto Maple Leafs in 1963 had a bonfire in the cup. Babies were baptized in the cup. Mm-hmm. But apparently the thing that ended this tradition of the Wild Wild West with the cup is 1993. The cup ended up at the bottom of Patrick Waugh's pool. And I think at that point the NHL was like, you know,
part of that's wood. That can't be good for it.
Maybe we should take a little bit better care of this cup and this artifact.
Thus, from what I understand, the 1980s Oilers were also like they weren't the last straw, but they were, I think, one of the first teams to really take the cup out on the town.
Like I'm thinking that the NHL is probably, you know, it hit critical mass with the pool incident. Mm-hmm. And we're like, I think we might need to do something. So what they did was they created the position of like the cup handler, the cup keeper, the keeper of the cup, which I think the longest has been Phil Pritchard. He's like the guy with the blonde hair that everybody sees, you know, with the white gloves. There's actually a Twitter account for the cup keeper. And it I know you don't like it, but I think it's kind of entertaining. So basically, there's several of them, but the keeper of the cup, his job is to be with the cup at all times. And he will take the cup anywhere. They will fly all over the world with the cup. But like their job is to make sure that it's okay. They clean it, they sanitize it and sterilize it because people are drinking it. You'll always see pictures of players eating cereal out of the cups.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, people do like... I don't even want to think about some of the things that have happened with this cup because we know Alexander Ovechkin was sleeping with it with at least without his shirt on. I don't know what was going on underneath the sheets. He was naked from the waist up that I could see. So, yeah. So apparently every player, coach, and staff member of the team gets a day.
That, to me, is just so very NHL. The fact that it's not just the players, it's also the coaches and the staff members. Because, you know, as we've talked about previously, one of the things that made me love the NHL early on was finding out that when the Stanley Cup is won, it's the team, the players that actually are presented with the cup and get to skate around with it and do their stuff, which they actually did skate around with it in a way that hasn't been done in years.
Yeah.
This year, which was great. And it's not like most other sports where they hand the trophy over to the owner of the team. So I just, you know, the NHL, you know, they have some faults, but they really recognize the contribution of the players and the staff members and the coaches. And I think that that's just wonderful and egalitarian, and I love it.
I know, because we were watching, obviously, I had a fair eye on the Super Bowl this year since the Eagles won. And the first thing they do is hand it to the owner. They hand the trophy to the owner. And it's like, well, what did you do?
Like, spent a bunch of money.
You spent a bunch of money.
Basically, and bought that trophy is how that works.
Yeah, so it's nice to see. It's nice to see the players have that moment. And again, Alexander Ovechkin and Nicklas Backstrom just like holding that cup up. It was great. It was really great. Mm-hmm. So the Stanley Cup has been to many, many, many countries. It travels for like almost. It's always traveling. Even when the players aren't celebrating their cup day, the Stanley Cup will travel to events, and you will see it for fan events, or you'll see it being taken to various celebrations and things, and people get a chance to get their picture taken with it. There's always a cup keeper. Always a cup keeper with it. But how? And I'm looking now. It says, what is the craziest most remote place the cup has ever been? And it says they've been up to the Arctic Circle. They've been in Siberia when one of the Detroit Red Wings won. They were in Kandahar in Afghanistan, took it there for the troops. Took it to Slovenia, which is not a traditional hockey country. But they said that one of the cup keepers was interviewed and said, they love going to Finland. Finland's their favorite place to go with it because in the summer, it's 24 hours of sunlight. Everything is outdoors. It's a totally different lifestyle. And and they really have a good time there. But yeah, that that cup has seen some things, let me tell you. So thank you, Patrick Waugh, for chucking the cup in the pool, or somebody, whoever chucked it in, because now we have this lovely tradition of the cup day, and we have gentlemen who, it's always a gentleman so far, travel the world with a cup. And if you look on Instagram or just Google places the cup has been, or photos of the Stanley Cup during Cup Day, you will see some really, really cool pictures, because the players will always have pictures of themselves with a cup on their Cup Day. So yeah, that's it. So now everybody knows what a Cup Day is and how it started.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Erica, why don't we close this out with a hockey tidbit?
All right. My hockey tidbit is, it's like a dual sport hockey tidbit.
Okay.
As we record this, it's kind of in the middle of the World Cup of soccer, or football, depending on where you are. And we were actually driving around town and kind of had soccer on the brain and noticed it was a rainy day. And off to the side, there were a bunch of guys playing soccer in the rain, like just on a random field. But they were using hockey nets instead of soccer nets, which at first, for a second, we laughed at. But then we realized, so quite often when people are playing like pond hockey, or they're doing a just like a pickup game of hockey where there's no goalie, because it's hard to find. Goalie is a tough position to play without a lot of practice and stuff, and you need a lot of specialized equipment. So it's not always easy to get a goalie if you're just doing a pickup game or playing a little shinny. And so they have these tiny little hockey nets that are like, I don't know, a foot off the ground or something like that. They're just these cute little things. So when you're playing and you have no goalie, you can use one of these adorable little like shorty nets, because then, yeah, you don't need a goalie. It's just tiny. You just have to hit it by being extra skillful, I guess. and it was kind of the same thing, using a hockey net instead of a soccer goal net when you're playing without a goalkeeper in soccer, because a hockey net is much, much smaller than a soccer goal. I just thought that was kind of a smart thing to do to get around not having a goalkeeper for a soccer game. So that's my happy thing, you know, repurposing hockey net for another sport. And also, side happy thing, side little tidbit, is the teeny tiny little nets for when you don't have a goalie in hockey, because they're adorable and I love them.
I never knew that's why those little tiny nets were there, because they didn't have a goalie. That makes so much sense now.
Yep.
I just thought they didn't feel like carrying big nets.
Nope. There's a specific use for it. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, what is happening? It was actually, we were on a trip to Lake Louise in the wintertime, and saw a bunch of people playing like a tournament, but it was like a kids tournament. They didn't have goalies. And I was like, what are those tiny things? They're so cute.
They're adorable. Now I know. I learned something tonight. That's so exciting.
And then we went and drank Bailey's from a bar literally made out of ice. So it was a good day.
That sounds like a great day, actually. Yep. Great hockey tidbit. Thank you. So you have been listening to Beginner's Puck. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at BeginnersPuck or email us at BeginnersPuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at TheIncomparable.com/puck.